Welcome to Dividing Line, a show designed to show the believer and the non-believer alike that everything we say or do is ultimately judged by God's Word. And now hosting Dividing Line, Bill and Ruth.
This is Bill Darr with Dividing Line. Actually, today, Bill and Ruth Darr. So we are excited, particularly during the second half. Ruth and I will be on together. It'll be primarily myself and a guest I have here during the first half. So, honey, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Very good. We are looking forward to it. Well, today is Friday, the 4th of May, 2012. And we have a special interview. Well, let me just tell you, my guest today is my friend of over 20 years, and his name is Reverend Rusty Thomas. Well, Rusty is founder and director of Elijah Ministries in Waco, Texas. From the very first day that I met Rusty and his family in the summer of 1991, Rusty and I have had a very special relationship. Rusty's website, and please jot this down, is ElijahMen.com. ElijahMen.com. It's loaded with a wealth of godly information that, first of all, will point you to the Savior and then help you in your day-to-day Christian walk. Rusty will inspire and challenge the believer to take a bold and courageous stand for God, wherever the believer may be. Well, one of the best things that Rusty's done in the last few years is write a book entitled The Kingdom Leadership Institute. And folks, if you haven't read this book and really applied it to your life and the training of youngsters and oldsters alike, I should say, you should do that. This book focuses on raising up and challenging leaders for such a critical time as we face in the year 2012. Well, today, as many days, we find Rusty Thomas, and this time and his family, on site. Today, they are in Little Rock, Arkansas, proclaiming God's good news. Rusty, welcome to Dividing Line.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Wow, what an awesome introduction. I think I need to bring you on the road with me, brother.
Well, I don't work that cheaply, you know. So, well, I tell you, Rusty, folks, if you hear a few background sounds and maybe it's not as clear or a little feedback occasionally, understand that Rusty is on a cell phone and he is, shall we say, out in the street. In fact, Rusty, tell us now, what brings you to Little Rock, Arkansas today?
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Brother Bill. The Thomas Nation and saints from all over the land right now, we are standing in the gap, making up the hedge at the last remaining abortion mill in Little Rock, Arkansas. And what we are doing here, brother, we are unsheathing the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and declaring God's truth to this last remaining altar of Moloch that is defiling the land with innocent blood. And brother, this is our faith in action. This is our trust in God and His Word in action. Believing, brother, that we cannot win this battle in the arm of the flesh. We need God and we need His anointing that He has placed upon His Word to go forth with His presence and power and literally root up, pluck up, overthrow, and destroy these altars of Moloch that is in defiance against Almighty God and His law and His little ones. And so we're trusting God for great things, Brother Bill.
Well, absolutely. And Rusty, you mentioned that this is the last remaining abortion mill in Little Rock, Arkansas. Actually, to be specific, it is the last remaining abortion mill in the state of Arkansas. And this brings me to a question that is a campaign during the year 2012, and it's called the States of Refuge Campaign. Tell us what that means, Rusty.
Well, as the brethren may know, you know, through the radio audience, that in the Old Testament, God had set up six Levitical cities called the Cities of Refuge. and they were established in the cases of bloodshed. And sometimes there was accidental death that was not done with malice and foresight and forethought and things of that nature. And so the innocent party could run to these cities to find refuge, so the elders of the land could sort through whether there was innocency or guilt. And what it was God protecting the land from blood guiltiness. And that's very, very important in God's economy in both Old and New Testament. And so based upon that model, we've created what we are calling the States of Refuge. And what we have, Brother Bill, is we have five states in America, Arkansas, Mississippi, North and South Dakota, and Wyoming, that have one death camp remaining defiling the land. And so we committed to God this year our resources, our manpower, our efforts, and all that we have on these five fronts in the hopes by the end of this year we can offer to God the first abortion-free state in the United States of America to literally punch a hole in the sky and see these strongholds begin to come down in Jesus' name and set the captive free. And what we're hoping, brother, as one begins to fall and the others topple, that it will have a ripple effect, that it will have a domino effect throughout the land. And so we are currently, right now, at this battlefront in Little Rock, Arkansas.
And Rusty, one of the specific things that you're doing as we speak, very near where you are there, I believe, you're conducting, or a group is conducting, a team, shall we say, what is called Word in Warfare. Now, that is basically reading the entire Bible over a city. Tell us about why you would do that.
Well, brother, there are different phases of this operation throughout this campaign, and one of them we call Word in Warfare. And this was started by our good friend Chet Gallagher, mm-hmm. a former Las Vegas police officer who literally gave up his career and actually rescued babies in a police uniform many years ago. He's a very courageous and dedicated man to the Lord and to his gospel. And he came up with this concept simply by reading the scriptures. He saw the authority of God's word, and so he created this ministry called Word in Warfare. And what we do, brothers, we go to the different gates of the city. In this case, it's an abortion mill, a death camp. And we got teams set up, lined up in front of the streets. And what we're simply doing, brother, we're unsheathing the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and we're taking it to the stronghold of child killing, brother. And we are lifting up the name of the Lord and declaring His truth, impressing His truth upon these altars of Moloch. And we're basically saying, there's another king, one called Jesus, and you're coming down in Jesus' name. And so, brother, this is our faith. This is our trust. We're saying to God, we trust you. We believe in you. We have faith in you, in your word. We understand we're not going to win this battle in the arm of flesh. We're not going to solve this politically. Our eyes upon you, O God. And we're going to lift up your name, and we're going to lift up your word, and it's going to go forth and accomplish the very thing you sent it to do. And, brother, we are believing God for great things to happen as we look to Him and we look to His word, and we unleash it at the very gates of hell. And God promised us in His word that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. And so here we are, brother, unashamedly declaring God's truth, and we are believing God for great things.
Well, absolutely. And Rusty, as you put it so well there, you know, so much of the time we're working after the fact, be it political, what have you. I know we've done a lot of work on this personhood amendment, and I think it's all good. But the first thing we've got to do, we've got to go back to the basics, which absolutely is God's word. Isn't it funny? We try to figure every avenue in the world, but the absolute bedrock truth that changes not, which is God's word.
Well, you know what, brother? Jesus gave us a powerful lesson in Scripture when He talked about the wise man and the foolish man. And most Christians are familiar with this passage of Scripture, but we don't understand its full ramifications. And what I mean by that, when Jesus talked about the wise man and the foolish man, they both heard the words of the Lord. One applied it to his life, the other failed to apply it to his life. Now the storms came to all, and none of us are exempt from storms or trials or afflictions or anything of that nature. But when the smoke clears, there is one who is still standing on the rock, the bedrock truth of God's word, and the other falls, and great is the fall.
Yes.
Now we tend to reduce God's word to just its personal implications. And so we say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to build my life upon the word of God, and I'll be blessed. Well, brother, this is a universal, comprehensive principle that applies to every area of life. Whatever part of life, be it political, be it educational, be it science, be it law, be it government, any area of life, when any area of life is not built upon the truth of God's word, it is doomed to failure. And I don't care how many government programs you throw at it. I don't care how much money you throw at it. No matter how much you try to educate this thing, it is doomed to failure. It is on sinking sand.
Yes.
And we see so much of our nation, Bill, built upon the sinking sand. And that's why we are falling apart. And so we are unashamedly standing upon the truth of God. That is stone, brother. And we will not be moved because great is our God. And
Amen.
We appreciate him, and we want him to know, brother, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so we're publicly declaring his word throughout the land.
Amen. 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 Well, I know during the States of Refuge campaign, which is essentially this 12-month period, one of the things you're doing at all the location is doing this word in warfare. Well, now, I know just recently, I want to say it was last weekend, in fact, I believe you were part of that, the word went out in Fargo, North Dakota. Just give us a brief update, recap on that, if you could.
Oh, it's so awesome, brother. Now, I got to tell you, I went from 95-degree Texas heat to the shivering cold of Fargo, North Dakota. My body was shivering to its core.
Yes.
I was not prepared physically for the weather in Fargo, but by God's grace, we continued, brother. We gave them heaven.
Yes.
And what's so wonderful, what's happening right now in the northern states, in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming, we have missionaries to the preborn. They're one of the several ministries that have said yay and amen to the States of Refuge campaign. So what's happening right now, Bill, which is so exciting, this is what I was seeking the Lord on, was to sort of get this wave after wave effect as different Christian pro-life ministries take to the street at the death camp. And so when one Christian ministry does its service to God and to try to defend the little ones made in his image, once they leave, another ministry comes roaring in.
Amen.
And so right after we did the word in warfare in Fargo, North Dakota, here came from the missionary to the preborn. And I'm telling you, brother, they have rocked Fargo to its core. It's amazing. I mean, the press, it was unbelievable, brother, what happened when the light shined in the darkness and this injustice was exposed to the public and to the city. He was awesome, brother.
Well, I just saw, I guess it's on YouTube, some video on some of that, and it was just so exciting, and I know, as you well point out, good things continue to go on there, so that is wonderful. Rusty, we've got so many things. When you and I talk, we never have enough time, and we're limited to the first 30 minutes here, as you know. So I do... There's some more, so many more exciting things that God is doing. Well, as you know, last year, and matter of fact, about this time, a group of people went to Jackson, Wyoming. People call it Jackson Hole. I think it's the Jackson Hole Valley there, Jackson, Wyoming, out near Yellowstone Park. And let's say some were not treated as well as they should have been. In fact, there was a real negative response there and from the police and what have you. And you wound up with a temporary restraining order there that tried to shut the gospel down. And I know Pastor Mark Hollick and Chet Gallagher were both arrested there one day. Well, some good things have come out of this. Tell us, kind of give us a recap there, and how God, we found favor with the Wyoming Supreme Court.
Well, what happened, brother, once they arrested Brother Chet and Pastor Mark, just a little while after that, the city dropped the charges. They knew what they did was unconstitutional. Brother, they had denied us freedom of speech, denied us to, you know, peaceably to assemble together, and quite frankly, denied our practice of religious freedom. And they knew that. They just wanted to shut us down and, you know, just, you know, let the chips fall where they may. So they dropped the charges, and then that case went all the way before the Supreme Court of Wyoming. And, brother, I was in the room when that case was being debated, and I got to tell you, I was very impressed with some of those Supreme Court justices, because when the city attorney was trying to make her case, I mean, they just exposed it for what it was. They knew. And she was talking about how, you know, how there's so much violence and all these different things. And He goes, from what I understand, the violence didn't come from Operation Save America. It came from the community. And she had to agree with that assessment.
Yes.
And so, you know, the Lord vindicated us. The case went our way. And what was so wonderful, and this was a major answer to prayer, Brother Bill, because this case could have been decided, you know, 2 years in the future.
Sure.
And I begged God, and I said, Lord, please bring forth a favorable ruling before we go back into Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which we're going very soon, May 14th through the 20th. And lo and behold, brother, a month before we're going back into Wyoming, they give this ruling in our favor. And, of course, the city is reeling. And, we have been the news, literally, we have been the news in Jackson, Wyoming for 1 year, just a four-day event, and the city has not going, they just haven't got over it. And they're even writing stories, brother, of what we're not doing.
Yes,
It's an amazing situation, but here's the deal, and I would just ask the folks to pray.
Yes.
You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is oppressed in that city. It is a liberal, artsy, new agey, earth-worshipping, homosexual, pagan community. And I'm telling you, the God's people are hiding in caves. They're afraid. And, brother, we are touching that stronghold, and it is shaking the very city to its core. And Brother Bill, we are believing that not only is God going to end abortion in Jackson, Wyoming, but he's going to break that demonic stronghold off of that city.
Amen.
And liberate his people from oppression. And right now, brother, they view us as an enemy. But I am telling you, they're going to find out in Jesus' name we were their very best friend because we spoke the truth in love, brother, and we're taking on this demonic stronghold, and in Jesus' name, it's going to be shattered, and the captive will be set free. In Jesus' name.
Well, amen. You love them enough to tell them the truth, and God will be glorified. So wonderful. Rusty, because of our time limitation, I want to move because I have another item or two I definitely want to make sure we cover. There's a lot of praise things. On April the 2nd through the 4th, former policeman Chet Gallagher, that we talked about here a bit earlier, led a team, and it was for Word and Warfare, into Jackson, Mississippi, reading the entire Bible and praying in front of the lone remaining abortion mill. Well, tell us what happened the very next day. Now, they were there April 2nd through the 4th, and on April the 5th, something happened.
Well, brother, it's no coinkydink that the Lord would see fit on the days that we are unsheathing the sword of the Spirit and declaring, thus saith the Lord, at the gates of hell, that the Mississippi legislature passed a bill that moves Mississippi close to becoming the first abortion-free state in America. And once they passed that, the governor did go ahead and sign that into law, and it puts the last remaining death camp in a very precarious situation, Brother Bill, because the abortionists who kill there have to now have a residency at a hospital. And the majority of them that kill in Mississippi do not have that. And so, brother, we are believing soon and very soon we will hear the awesome report of what our God has done. And he will shut down that death camp in Jesus' name, brother.
Amen.
And there's going to be a shout from the rooftops. And we're going to give God great glory for
amen.
What he has done, brother.
Oh, amen. Amen. Well, Rusty, we unfortunately are down to a little under 5 minutes. I do have a couple more things. This is so exciting. I do know this, that also I believe there's some good news coming out of Birmingham, Alabama. I remember that downtown abortion mill there. And if you have any update on that, you might just take a minute. If not, I have another question or two for you.
Well, they tried to save themselves. They tried to hang on, brother. The state was shutting them down. They appealed it. And from what I understand, brother, the appeal fell through. And so that death camp in Birmingham, Alabama, is history. So another one bites the dust in Jesus' name.
See, only God. God will do it to a people that mean business. And
amen,
we can spend all of our time passing the laws and everything else, and there's something about God's people taking God's word, taking his sword, unsheathing it, taking it to the streets where the demonic forces are. God's always going to win. When are we going to learn that? Wow. Well, brother, I want to switch gears just a second here, because I understand that you're real close to releasing a new book. Tell us a little bit about this book.
Oh, yeah, brother. This has been in the making for a couple of years. My wife and I were just in the last edit of the book. We call it Abortion Violation, a theological treatise on America's premier national security issue. And what this book demonstrates, brother, how everything that abortion touches, it violates. And we have chapters on how it violates God and his person, how it violates the kingdom of God, how it violates the church, how it violates true spirituality, how it violates law, how it violates government, how it violates the family, how it violates the medical profession, how it violates racial relations, how it violates the health of women. And even I got a chapter how it violates the political left that supports it, because the more they promote abortion, the more they cut off their base, brother. And
yes,
they don't see it that that what God says, the wicked shall be cut off and rooted out, brother. And they are literally, through their own belief systems, brother, destroying themselves.
Yes.
And then we got a chapter on the future, how abortion has reached into the future to even violate our future. And that's where, with illegal immigration, with the collapse of the Social Security programs, Medicaid, Medicare, brother, all this is because we have wiped out close to 60 million future citizens of
yes.
the United States
yes,
of America who
yes.
have grown up and been in the workforce and contributed to our society. But they're gone, brother.
Yes.
They're gone.
Yes.
And with it comes, a great economic boom to our nation. And we are suffering the ramifications already, brother. So this book is going to demonstrate how abortion violates everything it touches, except for the bloodlust of men, the selfishness, the greed, and the idolatry of men. No, abortion doesn't violate those things. Abortion enables those things.
Yes. Yes, well, it does, and I'm so glad you're coming out with this new book. I tell you, folks, I just want to mention again, Rusty's book that he wrote, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago now, called The Kingdom Leadership Institute. If you have not read that, and fathers read that and taught your family, and men's group, and young men's group, you should do that. And Rusty is available for teachings on that under the right circumstances. Remember, ElijahMen.com. And I just want to mention this. A ministry like this that takes on tough issues in a godly way, I hate to say it, in America today, it's hard to get proper support. And I'm telling you, this man, Rusty Thomas, needs and should have the support of every Christian in this country. He is helping to push back the walls, if you will, to shine a light in dark places. So I so encourage you to do that. Well, Rusty, I even heard that maybe you were rejuvenating an acting career. You got about a what's going on there? We're down to less than 1 minute.
Bill, I'm telling you.
Anything, nothing you can tell us at least right now, right? We're under a minute here, so I can't. I mean, I don't think Hollywood's probably beckoned you just yet, but in all seriousness, I know you and members of your family are talented. I think of young Micah and all of his ability to write and things like that, and others. And isn't it exciting how God will use you if you just say, Lord, here am I, send me?
Well, you know what, bro? I think this is just a kind of a personal thing between me and God. I was pursuing an acting career, and he shut it down. He killed it.
Yeah.
And he called me to full-time ministry, and I've been serving him ever since. And now, you know, it's one of the latter days of my life, brother. There's a guy, he's a filmmaker. He's done some documentaries, but he wants to do a feature film to take abortion on, Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
And he wants to use our life and ministry as the basis of the script, and he does have an actual role for me to play. So we'll see, brother, but I'm hoping that Mike and I would have this time as a father and son to participate in this film together.
Yes, well, absolutely. Well, Rusty, the music has just started, so we're going to have to go, brother. God bless you. Have a wonderful day there. Tell all the saints hello for Ruth and myself. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
God bless you, Brother Bill.
Right.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting ready to break, folks. This is Bill and Ruth Dar for Dividing Line, and I've been talking to my friend Rusty Thomas with Elijah Ministries.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
I'm sure you've heard that one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But why then, since 1960, have African Americans rejected any Republican running for office and elected Democratic Party officials to run their communities? Did you know that the cities with the highest crime, teenage pregnancy and poverty rates, as well as the lowest high school graduation rates, are all run by Democratic officials, from the mayors down to the city councils? Now, I know what you're thinking. This is just some Republican trick perpetrated by some racist Republican group. No, just some free-thinking black folks who have decided that the insanity must stop. We're not telling you to vote Republican. We're just telling you to stop and think before you vote for another Democrat that promises you the same thing and gives you what you've gotten for the past 50 years. Just think about it. For more information, check out newblackthought.blogspot.com. That's newblackthought.com. .blogspot.com.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772. 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
You love land, I'm longing for. I'm kind of homesick for that country to which I'd never, or never been before. No sad goodbye will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore.
Well, we're back. Bill and Ruth Dar with Dividing Line with the second half of the program today. Hopefully you heard the first part of that. If you didn't, you must go back and hear that. I was talking to my friend, Reverend Rusty Thomas of Elijah Ministries out of Waco, Texas. And he and his family and many others are on site in Little Rock, Arkansas. I know at the abortion mill and probably other locations, declaring the truth of God's Word. And they're declaring the truth by the absolute presentation / reading declaration of God's Word over that city and over the state of Arkansas, where they're down to one remaining abortion mill. And we pray and we're working toward closing that abortion mill. So I encourage you, the citizens of Arkansas, support this. Support the states of refuge, which is going on over essentially the year 2012. And today, again, they're reading God's Word there. And nothing but good can come from something like that. Well, in the second half, we're going to get into some other things that is supportive of this central theme. But this is a Friday, and we normally record on a Wednesday. And so it's interesting. Ruth and I, earlier this morning for a couple hours, were at the local abortion mill called Reproductive Services. They have a way of fancying up the term that that God calls child sacrifice. Right. And what did you think about today? It's always good to give the truth at a place where only demonic lies go out.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. We were able to hand out a couple packets. There were seven escorts there, and these are people with wear the purple vest and say clinic escorts.
Yeah.
And I call them the purple vultures.
Yes.
Because a girl drives in, and they surround the car. They don't let her get near us. If we give them information, they try to take it out of their hand. And they rush these girls in before they can truly make the right decision, because yeah, they've seen our signs. They know we're there. We tell them we're there because we care about them. So this is ongoing around our whole country.
Yeah.
Every single day this is happening.
Well, it's so true. And, you know, today I was especially thankful because our friend Carol and two big guys were there to support her about a block and a half away as people just began to turn into this general 32nd Street. They were there with signs and talking and showing the awfulness of abortion. So as I was telling one of the guys, we had a Marine on one end and we had a an Army guy on the other. And the Army guy is our handles all the video for us and all. And those old soldiers, they're not as young as they used to be. But I love their hearts and I love the fact that they know this awful place is killing children. And they want to do something about it, and they help us, and I am very thankful for that.
Well, it's Dave and Randy. We're down on the corner, and then Al is our video man.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, Al doesn't miss a thing.
Nope.
He's
doesn't.
He is in his 80s, folks, I can tell you that. But very spry and much energy, and what a beautiful heart this man has. Well, one other thing I wanted to mention about that, for the last few weeks, we have had a Jewish man by the name of Andrew, and he came a few weeks ago. He didn't know where, I don't know that he knew where this place was. He happened to drive by or just what, and he saw that people were trying to save children, and it impressed him because he grew up as a child during the Holocaust. And he lost some members of his family. Yes. So he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it why we don't compare this to the Holocaust that went on in Germany and, right. and Poland and other countries. And he's really neat to talk to. And you gave him a special gift there on one of the first weeks or so. Tell us about that.
Well, he just drove up and was talking, and he has a real accent. But as we listen to him, his heart is to go to the Jewish community and open their eyes to the Holocaust and abortion, that they're the same thing, just different times, different places. And so as he was talking, I had a little one of those little babies, 11-week-old model, and I got it and I carried it over to him and gave it to him. And he comes and he holds it in his hand, cradles it very gently, and he's just like, he gets it, and he wants other people to get it. Well, today he comes, and he brings us a picture of his grandkids. And he brought a picture of his one son has 8 children, and he's so proud of him. And another son has a son that was born before he was married.
Yes.
But she was told to abort, didn't do it.
Told to
and
abort.
He said, this young man is the brightest, smartest, kindest young man he's ever met. And he's just, his heart goes out because he could have been aborted very easily.
Yeah. Well, the young man is 9 years old. I want to say one other thing just quickly. There's a policeman that's paid for by our federal dollars. Attorney General Eric Holder feels like those people need protection from us, and I'm just telling the truth of it. Mm-hmm. So he is there every week. And I made a point today. I motioned for him to come out. I said, I want you to meet a friend of mine. So I introduced him to Andrew, and I said, Andrew will give you the Jewish Holocaust perspective on child killing. Mm-hmm. And they had about a 15-minute conversation. I would say the policeman was rather uneasy. His arms were crossed and that kind of thing. But I said, officer, that we've gotten to know pretty well, I said, I want you to realize the proper perspective on child killing in Oklahoma that goes on here in Tulsa at this mill, one in Norman and one in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And our friend Andrew delivered the mail. Mm-hmm. So that was neat. So what a good day there. And at that awful killing center, God's word and his truth goes out. All we got to do is show up.
That's right.
Well, honey, the time we have left here, I want you to talk about some biblical, historical, and current examples that did and could lead to repentance. And I would say with an overall umbrella, the question is, will we fear God or will we fear man? By our actions now, okay?
Well, the first one that I want to mention is in Exodus 1, chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, and it talks about the midwives back in the day in Egypt. And the midwives were commanded to kill any baby boys that were born. You could save the girls, but kill the boys. And it was a command from the king of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Well, in order to know if they were boy or girl, basically they deliver them the same way the partial birth abortion is. They deliver the baby, see what sex it is.
Yeah.
If it was a male, they would kill it.
They're told to kill it.
To kill it. If it's a female, they let it live. Well, the midwives feared God more than the king.
Oh, boy.
And they refused to obey the king of Egypt. And what they did, they told him, they said, we just couldn't help it. These women are so hearty. They give birth before we can even stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they didn't kill the babies. It says that God established these women households for them because they feared God and not man. And their names are Sifra and Puah. And the interesting thing is they are mentioned in the New Testament as women of faith.
Absolutely.
Because they feared God and
Absolutely.
Not man. God,
you know,
honors
them. If you really think about that, that's the most incredible thing. Here the Pharaoh, the king, was telling them, you kill every male that's
mm-hmm.
born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that was about the time that Moses was born.
Yes, it was. And
oh,
so
my.
What's interesting is, all we know that so many males were killed, but there was a one woman, her name was Jochebed.
Yeah.
And she gave birth to Moses. She knew that they were supposed to kill him. She kept him for probably 3 months. This is before the cries of the baby are really strong and people really know there's a baby. And then, of course, as we know, she put him in, she hid him in the bulrushes and put him out in the water where the king of Egypt's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, would come and bathe and all. And she found the baby, and then she wanted to adopt it, this
yeah.
little male child that they were told to kill. The Pharaoh's daughter adopted it. Then she needed a nursemaid. And Miriam, Moses' sister, was standing there watching because she was going to report to her mother what happened to the baby.
Yes.
And she overheard them, and she said, well, I know somebody, a nursemaid, who could take care of the baby. So then Moses' mother got to nurse this baby until he was weaned, and then he was given back. But this woman, Jochebed, obeyed God and not man. But what is interesting, people think if you obey God that everything's going to be rosy and perfect. She obeyed God. She saved her son, but she gave her son up
and
be raised in Pharaoh's house.
Oh, absolutely.
And what a sacrifice.
Right.
So pain comes along with obeying God, but we should obey God. Look what Moses did. He brought the children of Israel out. I mean, there's so many things. But it's not all perfect and roses just if you obey God, but we need to obey God.
By the way, it's interesting. You keep emphasizing they obeyed God, which mm-hmm. is so true. They disobeyed the leadership.
That's right. That's right.
I hate to tell you that, folks. You
the
need
government.
To read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to obey godly leadership.
Yes. It
doesn't say anything about ungodly leadership.
Right.
We need to study that. That's a whole other program.
That's right. And if our leadership is doing ungodly things, we don't obey that.
That's exactly
we
right.
We obey God.
We obey God. If you fear God, mm-hmm. you're going to be the best citizen that country ever knows.
That's right.
Evil people won't feel that way.
Right.
But that's the reason we've had all the wonderful privileges in this country over all the years. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it doesn't mean you won't suffer, because like in Rome, in the Roman Colosseum, when the Christians refused to reject God, refused to stop obeying God and getting together and worshiping God,
mm-hmm.
these Christians were fed to the lions.
Yes, yeah.
They were fed to the lions. I mean, it didn't come out.
Yeah, we didn't. They didn't have the three Hebrew children effect there, did they?
No.
When the fourth man, you know, he looked like Jesus walking mm-hmm. in the fire, and they were protected.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So you don't know.
You just now, obey God is the principle,
right,
isn't it?
Right. But what they did was they taught those coming after them, their children, the importance of obeying God,
my.
And standing up. So they affected generations to come, generations
yeah.
to come.
Yes. Oh, no question. No
and then,
question.
In his history, we talk about William Tyndale. He was translating the Bible into the language of the common man. He wanted the plowboy to have a Bible to read.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because up until this point, it only came from the religious leaders. They told you what to believe, how to believe, and when to believe, basically.
They didn't want the average person having the ability to read the scriptures at all, no, did they?
They didn't.
Isn't that
feel
amazing?
Like, they didn't feel like they were smart enough to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But so William Tyndale decided to translate the Bible into the language of the common man. And he was in his house, and he worked on this constantly, working on it. When a friend of his invited him to come out, and at that time, that friend was not a true friend. He exposed him, and because of that, William Tyndale was burnt at the stake.
And you know, honey, I think he was only 35, 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And people still, the name Tyndale has a resolve, a resolute, you know, he did something. And that name lives on, doesn't it?
Well, there's Tyndale Publishing House in Chicago that my sister's mother was their editor for.
Yeah.
And they're still spreading the word.
Yeah.
And it's because of him. But we are able to freely read and study the Bible because of this man who obeyed God and not man.
So what we just take as an everyday normal thing and frequently don't really read it.
Right.
He gave the average person the ability to do that in the English language.
Yeah, he was very educated. He could have done anything with his life, mm-hmm. but he chose to translate the Word of God for us. Then in Martin Luther was born in 1483, and he was a German monk. And he wanted the common man to know the Scriptures. And he went against the church and the leaders at that time, and he nailed his 95 theses to the church door. He was banned at that time, held as a prisoner because he obeyed God and not the religious leaders or man.
Yeah.
So he was banned then and I believe held captive for quite a while after that, several years. But this man went against the establishment or man and obeyed God.
You know, when you have evil government, if everybody's speaking well of you, that's not a good sign for a follower of Christ.
No, it's not.
And you need to think about that. It's really true. We always seem to, I want to get along with everybody, you know, judge not lest you be judged and all that kind of stuff. We're all together.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're not all together.
No.
Those that oppose Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they're not all together.
That's right. Then we move up to the Civil War days, and we know that Abraham Lincoln was against slavery and he went against the majority of men, majority of property owners, people who had big, huge plantations, and they used the slaves to help them survive and help them be successful. But he went against slavery, and he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation to free the slaves.
You know, that is a very interesting study, and I encourage everybody to do that. I think Lincoln, without question, was against slavery. Mm-hmm. But like most people, you know, he was looking for somebody to back him up, if you will.
Approval.
Well, guess what? If you really study that, who led toward the freeing of the slaves? It came from the pulpit.
Yes.
It came from the pulpit.
That's right.
To encourage leaders, you know, political mm-hmm. leaders, to mm-hmm. do what was right.
That's
and
right.
folks, that's the only way that it will work properly.
That's right.
Today and far too often, we're always, well, let me call Oklahoma City. Let's see what they're doing. We got a quorum here. We've got a caucus meeting and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, they're not going to get it right until the Church of Jesus Christ gets it right
that's
and
right.
walks it out.
Right.
And you and I have seen that in this personhood thing that we've done a lot of work on recently. We've met some people
exactly.
that have thrilled us. We've met some that were wringing their hands and, oh, what's going to happen? My 501(c)(3).
That's right.
Oh, my goodness, they're coming after me.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's amazing how they don't come after you, but they're not going to come after most people because they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
But we have all those freedoms and need to walk them. Okay.
Well, yeah, Abraham Lincoln, he obeyed God because he knew that God created man, and he created him equal, and he obeyed God, not giving in to the pressure of the masses, which he
yeah.
could have.
Honey, it's so interesting there, and I've done a study of that. The Dred Scott decision, which the Supreme Court of the United States, this was in 1857, said, well, you can continue to have slaves, to hold slaves. 8 years later, 1865. Unfortunately, there was an awful civil war that killed over 600,000 of our men on both sides. In 65, then, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution that said men were free. Slavery was illegal. Yeah. Came out. Shows how quickly things can change. Well, the Supreme Court didn't change their mind until the people changed the mind.
That's right. So okay. The people.
Mm-hmm. There again, I don't care if it's even the Supreme Court. It's the people.
Yes.
In this case, it's God's people. What will God's people do?
Well, still talking about people obeying God rather than man, we go to World War II. And many have heard the story of Corrie ten Boom. Their family harbored Jews and helped them escape. And they harbored them in their home. And they ended up, well, losing their lives and everything. But they obeyed God rather than man. They knew that the Jews were created in God's image, and they were protected them. And then, of course, Oskar Schindler, we've heard the story of how thousands of Polish Jews escaped Hitler because of him. Because of him standing up, taking a stand, speaking out, and doing something.
And all of these were in very dangerous situations, weren't they?
Extremely.
I mean, I know that it's been a while since I've read about Corrie ten Boom, but I know that her sister, while in prison, died while she was in prison, as I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't they kill her father, or did he die in prison?
I think he died, but what they did was they had a secret room in their house where they would take Jews in and hide them until they could get them out of the country.
Yeah.
So they
could have been
investigated all the time.
They could have been okay if they'd just gone along to get along.
Like their neighbors did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Most of their neighbors
refused to do that.
Yeah. And it cost them a lot. Mm-hmm. But they'll always be remembered. Here we are talking about them all these years later.
Right. Exactly.
But this is something within current lifetimes, and so this would be much more current event.
Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of Voice of the Martyr, he originally stood up in a large group that was pastor speaking in Romania and confronted Hitler head on, saying that we need to obey God, not man. Here was a whole room full of religious leaders, you know, I don't know their state, but this was the only person that would stand up to Hitler and speak out and tell him he was wrong.
Wow. Now, this was in Romania, wasn't it?
It was in Romania. Well, he was in prison then 14 years after that.
It was a very dark place.
Yes, yes.
And everything there, all the pressure said, just sit on your hands.
Oh, of course.
That was a big conference they were having,
wasn't
it? I've read about it.
Yeah, they pretty much said, you know, it wasn't a major thing. But we're hearing the same thing now. You know, we let this slip, let that slip. Well, they'll take over. And we know the communists did. They took over.
Well, didn't his wife have some influence over that?
Yeah. She was sitting next to him, and she poked him in the ribs, and she said, Richard, I won't be married to a man who won't stand up for God.
Oh,
and
boy.
He stood up. Yeah, women like to do
that. And it cost him many years.
Yes, she was also imprisoned.
Yeah, I know he was imprisoned, I think, under two different times for 14 years.
14 years. So.
And tortured and treated awful.
Yes.
And I remember when they came to the United States, before a House committee, he stood up, removed his shirt, and you could see all
the scars
and all on his back where he'd been beaten
and
abused.
Had been so damaged he could hardly walk because he was tortured so badly.
What a wonderful couple then that began in the 1960s, I believe around 63 or 65 off the top of my head. They began the wonderful organization called Voice of the Martyrs, which ministers to hurting people, leaders, pastors, everybody else across the world.
That's right.
And
who many have been abused or are hurt greatly.
Yes. Yeah.
Families, many destroyed.
Absolutely.
Then we get to abortion. And abortion today, many people use it as birth control or for convenience. But this allows promiscuous sex with no need to obey God's principles of one man for one woman in marriage. So abortion is obeying man and not God.
Yeah, it really is. And it really says by the fact that it's formally allowed. I mean, people have been killing their children for a long time. It doesn't make it right.
They do around the world, but America is based on godly principles.
That's exactly right.
And so, that's why we answer our, we have a greater.
And honey, I can remember, as you know, it was quote unquote made legal January 22nd, 1973. Mm-hmm. I can remember reading articles right here in Oklahoma mm-hmm. where a pastor went to jail and then was sentenced to prison because he had boarded a child somewhere, mm-hmm. which is properly so. But now we've got it where pro-life people who try to declare the truth of God's word, they are often jailed and tried to be intimidated and that kind of thing. So we flip-flopped it.
Well, you know, from our pulpits today, we know that the gospel is true. It's called the good news, but it's been watered down. And so many people now go to church to be entertained. They're in the congregation who desperately need to know what the Bible says about how they should live their lives. They leave Sunday morning or Sunday evening one-hour service as desperate as when they came in. They leave not knowing how to make godly decisions, how to choose whom they should be, and not knowing what is right and wrong in a relationship. And this happens because the pastors don't want to offend anyone. So people turn to movies, television shows for their answers. And I hear more people quote from lines of movies or television shows than anything else. It seems like no one quotes the Bible when giving or needing direction for their lives. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they're encouraged to read and study God's word. And many sermons are now preached on self-help books rather than God's word.
Wow. Yeah.
We need to know the truth.
Yeah. We've kind of done everything, but thus saith the Lord, haven't we?
Yes.
Isn't it unreal? I know you and I have been for the last several years into a Bible reading schedule, if you will, that along with other studies that we make, we read through the Bible each year, and it so comes alive. It's the most incredible thing. You think, well, I've read that, you know, 50 times, mm-hmm. and there's something new every morning.
Yeah.
And the wonderfulness of God's Word.
I know. I just recently, we've talked a lot about faith. It seems like as we've gone through this personhood thing, so many churches we contact are so fearful. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of losing the 501(c). They're afraid of offending someone. All this fear.
Yeah.
And I was reading it, Luke, going through the other day, 18:8, and it said, Jesus said, "When I come back, will I find faith in the earth?" And
wow.
That just jumped out to me because I've been saying, where's the faith? I'm not seeing
yes.
the faith. I'm not seeing people choosing to obey God rather than man.
So is faith a declaration or is it action? I
it's
think
action.
We did a program on
That's
faith
right.
as an action verb
That's
a
right.
couple years ago.
It is.
But it is action.
If you truly
Talk
believe something, you'll do something. Yeah. Well, and it also comes back to a relationship. I just read a book about a young man in North Korea who was in Camp 14 in North Korea, and it was a horrible place. And he mentioned that he had no, he had never had a relationship with another human being because they were treated like animals. And he even betrayed his mother and brother, and they were killed. But he met one man who he began to trust, and he developed a relationship with him. And I started thinking about relationship. You get courage to obey God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where the strength comes from. That's where the obedience comes from.
So it's not an instant microwave thing, is it?
No, it builds, it grows as you get into his word. And I know so many people are looking for a word from God.
Yeah, yes.
Well, read his word. It's all from God, and it's all there for you.
When I was interviewing Rusty a bit earlier, I could just feel the energy.
Uh-huh.
And folks have got to know, I know this man well enough to know that he's the real deal. And I could just feel that exuding from him mm-hmm. because I know he buries himself into God's word and teaches his family that way. Well, honey, we're about out of time. This has been this has been good.
Let me read this last verse. 2 Corinthians 7:14. We've all heard it. It
Chronicles.
Says, if my people,
Chronicles 7:14.
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. Just like those before us, we have to turn from our wicked ways. We have to choose to follow God, not man. Fear God not man.
Amen. Well, will we repent? Will we have a mindset of I'm going to obey holy God rather than fearing man? I pray that's the case. Bill and Ruth Dyer with Dividing Line, it's been good to be with you today. Thanks.